Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. All right, this is what we're going to do. I promise you we will take phone calls in the 5 o'clock hour. If you want to call in, 913-586-7965. I promise you we will take calls. This hour doesn't have to be me. It can be all of us. This is all of our show. This is where I would like to begin. I would like to think that I'm very, very consistent. And my stance is always going to be, I am always going to focus in on the highest paid and most important players on the team. Those are the players that the team has identified as most important. Their salary commands it. So the criticism has to start with them. Last year, when the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl, these are the players that walked out for the coin toss. These are the captains. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Nick Bolton, Harrison Bucker, and James Winchester. Now, I don't have any issues with James Winchester. He's the long snapper on the team. They did not win or lose because of James Winchester. So let's move him to the side. Nick Bolton. Now, I have less criticism for him in this game. He made a game-changing, game-saving defensive play. I also don't think that the missed interception is his fault. I think it's just one of those things, defensive players awkward, moving, trying to make a play. But that's a big play in the game. The football gods don't give you gifts that often. I mean, the ball in slow motion pops up in the air. I don't care who comes down with it. Somebody on the defense has to convert that play. The Chiefs, they are in control of the game up to this point. And if you make that play, the way your offense started the game, just the momentum, the shift, the swing, all of those things, it kind of felt like in baseball when you give a team an extra out. We've all seen it before. There's a pop-up. Your first baseman runs into the net or runs into the tarp, and now all of a sudden, that team's got life. They got a fourth out. They always seem to make you pay, and that's kind of what that opportunity felt like. But Nick Bolton missed the play. He made another play. I'm not as mad at Nick Bolton, at least in this conversation. But those other players, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Harrison Bucker, all of them have been in the middle of a Chiefs loss so far this season. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. He's one of the three greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, but he is not immune to criticism. He got baited on an interception. That happens. He got caught slipping. Didn't see the linebacker there. The linebacker jumps in front of the ball with his fifth interception of the season. He's actually probably one of the players on the short list for defensive player of the year. At least he should be. I know he's not one of those named players, but he is playing as well as any defensive player right now in the league. He caught Patrick slipping. It happens from time to time. But that pick six is the biggest swing of momentum in the game. It is the biggest shift in momentum. The Chiefs are putting together a drive. They got points coming. And you now take those points off the board and you directly give those points to Jacksonville. That is a major, major play in this game. So you can't have this conversation, at least with being critical of Patrick Mahomes, at least in a little bit. He doesn't make a whole lot of those mistakes, but he made a big mistake on this play. He got caught slipping and he threw a pick six. Now, Travis Kelce didn't do anything in this game, but week two of the NFL season, the biggest play of the game was a missed catch by Travis Kelce that resulted in a turnover. So your quarterback makes the biggest play in a loss in week five. Your tight end makes the biggest play in a game in week two. And I would say in weeks one and five, Chris Jones was also in the middle of it. In week one, the Chiefs got a chance to get off the field. It's third and 14. Chris Jones decides to do his own thing, loses containment. Justin Herbert runs and gets a first down. It now goes from third and 14 to a 17-yard run. It's a first down that ends the game. That ends the game. And you can clearly see one of his teammates getting on him. Hey, do your job. All right, well, that's step number one. Last night, I'm sorry, the effort that he gave on that defensive play is unacceptable. You are a captain. You are a leader. I've seen you get on guys for lack of effort, not trying hard enough, not being where they're supposed to be, and you should be. You're going to Canton. You're going to be in the Chiefs' Ring of Honor. You're one of the great defensive players in Kansas City Chiefs history. Your effort on that play is unacceptable. And if you have been frustrated about the Chiefs' defensive line and don't feel like they get enough pressure, you only got to show me one play this season. That's a chance for you to potentially go win the game. Jacksonville has no timeouts. It's 20 seconds. Getting a sack there is big. It moves them from first and goal from the one-yard line. They then get a sack there. They got to spike it. They don't have a timeout. So it's now third and goal, probably with, what, 8-9 seconds left? Now, sure, they can still win the game, but that's a big difference than first and goal from the one-yard line. Somebody's got to go make that play, and your star defensive tackle is moving in slow motion. He's doing the mannequin challenge. It doesn't look like he tried on that play. It'd be one thing if you felt like he was going out there giving his all. He's staring around watching. Even as the play is turning in a different way, maybe you're going to make the argument that the Chiefs were trying to let Jacksonville score. Don't really know why you would let him score in that scenario with no timeouts, but okay. At no point did his energy change. Not initially. Not when he realized that he fell, not when he sees Trevor Lawrence get up, dust himself off, and try again, and then go run. At no point did you see, he didn't even have a giddy up. He didn't have a giddy up. He was moving slower than a mall walker. I'm serious. He was doing the mannequin challenge on the most important defensive play of the game. That's unacceptable from one of your leaders. One of your leaders that likes to hold people accountable. The leader that's going to get in somebody's face. Well, somebody's got to get in his face. That's unacceptable from a player as good as Chris Jones is, which now leads to me, a very different conversation about Chris Jones over the last 27 games. So this is every game after that season finale game in which Chris Jones got the double-digit sack. You guys remember that game? They let Chris Jones try to go get his contract incentive, which, hey, great job by the Chiefs organization. Hey, I know it was tough. It was tense. We didn't agree on the money, but we're going to give you a chance to get some of that money back that you lost from missing training camp and missing the first week of the season. The Chiefs did right by Chris Jones. They really did right by Chris Jones. You're under contract. You're unhappy with your deal. I'm sorry. You work for us. Come to work. They gave him a chance to get the money back. They let him play in a game that meant nothing for the Chiefs. They let Chris Jones in a game put his personal accomplishments over what the team needed. The best thing to do is to rest. You can't get hurt sitting over there with Patrick and Travis. They were over there having a great old time. Didn't even dress out. They let him go out there and get a sack. He got a sack. Since that game, he has 7.5 sacks in his last 27 games. He had a half tackle in this game. So far this season, Chris Jones has 7 tackles. Ja'Marr Chase has 5. He has 7 tackles in 5 games. And you have a half sack. You ain't doing enough. You're not doing enough. So part of the conversation about the defensive line and why it's struggling is you are paying for one of the 10 best defensive linemen in the NFL. He is the highest paid player at his position. He is a first team, all pro, game changing kind of player. He's not being that right now. And on that play, in that individual instance, it is evident right there. And maybe this is just me, and I'm the only one that feels this way. I hate the fact that he calls the play fluky. I really do. I hate it. It's just such a lack of accountability on this play. Not when we saw the tape. I see the video. I see the way you're moving. You can't call it fluky when Trevor Lawrence fell down 2 times. Nobody on the team touched him while he was down. He got up and then ran for a touchdown. You got to tip your cap on the other side.
I've done multiple times. We had him. We just got to finish. We had multiple guys there that we just got to finish that play. It was a fluke play for him to be able to break that many tackles. I think I put it on us as a defense. We got to finish. You know, we got to bring him down on that.
I just hate that. It just shows a lack of accountability. It was a fluke play. He ran all over you all night. Trevor Lawrence had 60 yards rushing in the game. He ran all over you all night. He scored 2 rushing touchdowns. It wasn't a fluky play. It wasn't at all. He made a better play than what your defensive line and linebackers made on that play. I just hate it. That combined with the lack of effort on the play, it was just, it's very unbecoming of a champion. And that's who Chris Jones is. He is a champion. Very unbecoming. I don't think all is lost from yesterday. I really don't. Their offense was great. Their wide receivers are starting to figure things out. That was the best effort that they got from their running backs. Like, there were a lot of positives, I think, from the game. But what has been sort of a theme in their 3 losses so far, man, those losses are not all, hey, we didn't have Rashee Rice. You could have won that Chargers game. Your defense was undisciplined and couldn't get off the field. You could have won that game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Your Hall of Fame tight end bobbles a ball and takes points off the board. You could have won that game without Rashee Rice. You had every opportunity to win that game. You had 14 penalties for 90 yards. Special teams. There was a stretch where on 4 straight kickoffs for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Chiefs committed a penalty 4 straight on the final play. They kicked the ball out of bounds. Like, repeatedly, you guys made mistakes. If you make those kind of mistakes and you compound them over the course of 60 minutes against a team that has everything to prove, against a team that's playing with all the momentum in the world, you just get beat. And that's what happened to the Chiefs yesterday. They just ran into the right team on the right day and that was able to take advantage of their mistakes and their blunders, and they figured out a way to beat them yesterday.
It was extremely frustrating as someone watching the game. And I imagine fans at home felt this way too, because it felt like the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't want to win. Like, they made bonehead mistake after bonehead mistake after bonehead mistake. Like, we don't have to get too deep in the weeds here, but the screen call by the Jags on that last drive, the delay of game multiple times because Trevor Lawrence just lost track of the play clock. Like,
Jacksonville gave you every opportunity to win that game in the final 5 minutes of it.
100%. So we have seen the Chiefs take advantage of the other team's mistakes a million times in the Patrick Mahomes era. It's why the Craig Cartons of the world really hate the Chiefs. It's because you make a mistake, the Chiefs pounce, they beat you, you walk away, and you're like, if we just not made that one mistake, we would have beaten the Chiefs today. Well, you did, and you lost. Except for last night, the Jaguars made a handful, several of those types of mistakes, where I've seen game after game after game where the Chiefs pounce, and they smoke a team that does that. And last night, did they not only not pounce on those mistakes, it seemed like they out-blundered the Jags. Like, some on the text line, the back-to-back timeouts. I know the game was in hand at that point, but what are you doing? Why are you calling back-to-back timeouts? Why are you not adjusting defensively to what Trevor Lawrence is doing, which is running around? How do you have bad effort on the goal line at the end of the game, where if you get a goal line stop, you win, and you get to walk out of Jacksonville a winner? How do these things happen? How do you kick the ball out of bounds after a touchdown where if you get a stop and you're up by 4 points, you win the game? You kick the ball into the third row. Like, those sort of mental errors are just very unprecedented for this Chiefs team. They usually are the team that is more smart and more sound, and they take advantage of your mistakes. But this game at times looked like a blunder off. And I don't remember who said it on Twitter, but they're like, this game is odd just because it seems like nothing is going right for either team, which is unique to the Chiefs because we have not seen a game like that from the Chiefs maybe in the Patrick Mahomes era. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Maybe the AFC title game against the Bengals, but that's obviously an extreme example.
Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, to Chris Jones' defense, it's tough to get tackles when you're double teamed more than anyone in football. This is what we do whenever a defensive lineman's not playing well. That's what we go to. We're starting to do the Frank Clark playbook now with Chris Jones, where it was just kind of obvious that Frank Clark wasn't playing really well. But it's like, oh, well, he's getting double teamed. He's getting triple teamed. No. No. Not to the level you guys are talking about. Not at all. He has 7.5 sacks in the last 27 games. Or if you think he's getting doubled and triple teamed, then we need to have a George Karlaftis, Charles Amenihu, Mike Dana conversation. Mike Dana has one pressure so far this season. Charles Amenihu has been non-existent. It's a contract year. Charles Amenihu, fully healthy. No off-the-field issues that we know about. No suspension. No, none of that. Like, this was a defensive line that we were really counting on. This is where they have spent their resources. They haven't spent money at running back. They didn't spend money at wide receiver. They spend money on offensive and defensive line. Their offensive line is really starting to play well. We're not having conversations about them switching off to Jalen Moore anymore. Juwan Taylor has played well these last couple of weeks. Kingsley has played well. Josh Simmons has played well so far. Their offensive line has been very, very good the last 2 weeks. When you think about it, most things on their team are starting to really improve. Their running back room has improved the last couple of weeks. That offensive line has improved. Their wide receivers have improved from week one to week five. You are seeing progression on a lot of things on the offensive side of the ball. You are not seeing progression with their defensive line. Not close to seeing progression on the defensive line of the ball. And a lot of that, I got to attribute to Chris Jones. You're the highest paid player on the defense. You're a future first ballot Hall of Famer. You're one of the great players in the league. You are not playing like it right now. And if we go back and we look at, I would say, the signs, because the signs are usually there. The signs were there with Travis Kelce. You guys got mad at me when I said the signs, but the signs were obviously there with Travis Kelce. He's not who he used to be anymore. Now, that can still be a very productive player, and Travis has been a productive player for you, but the signs have been there. Hey, something's a little bit off on Chris Jones. Something's off. He had 15.5 sacks in 2022. He had 10.5 sacks in 2023. He had 5 sacks last season. He has 1 so far through the first, and he has 7 tackles. He is not making a major difference in these games. He's not. Not for a guy that you probably consider the best D tackle in the league before all of this. That's not the effort that you're getting right now. And the effort that you saw on that play, it's just, it's embarrassing. There's no other word, honestly, to use it. It is embarrassing, in my opinion. I want to play for you guys what Nate Taylor had to say. Here he is talking about the final play of the game. He's on the other side of this.
So my interpretation, and I kind of asked him in the locker room, this is before the podium, you stand there because if he gets up, you might think he's going to throw either the ball away or you want to have your body in your position to be hands up for a pass deflection if he's going to throw the ball in the middle of the end zone. Now, there's no spy, which I know you guys have talked about. And Charles Amenihu gets planted. Drew Tranquil takes a terrible angle. Jerry Tillery sees what's happening but is so slow to react that he can't get Trevor Lawrence down. And now everybody focuses on Chris Jones because he goes, I have literally taken up 2 offensive linemen yet again. Those 2 guys aren't doing anything. There are one-on-ones all over the place. And why is he running? Because I'm cooked. I'm gassed. They could not give me a sub in the last drive. And again, it's not George Karlaftis, who you just paid a handsome contract to. It's not Charles Amenihu. It's not Jerry Tillery. It's not Ashton Gelati. It's not Mike Dana. It's not Derek Nnadi. Chris Jones played the most snaps of anybody on the defensive end, on the defensive line.
Nate, I'm sorry I got to disagree with you, man. You got to find something in that tank for the last play of the game. You got to find something in the tank. The play then blew up. He fell to the ground. You can't get an easier sack than that. The man's laying on the ground. You ain't got to hit him. Go down there. Touch him. You just got to play tag. Freeze tag. He's down. He got up. He fell twice. He fell and then fell again trying to get himself back up on his feet. He got back up on his feet. There was not a single defensive lineman in the backfield. He then got past the first line, broke a tackle, and scored his 2nd rushing touchdown of the game. I don't want to hear the I'm tired. Nah, man. I don't know what to tell you. I'm tired. Nah, bro. We big fella. We need you. 9-5. We need you. We all tired. We've all been out here. We need you to step up and make a play. And he didn't. That simple. Coming up on the other side, we gave out our barbecue chicken award. We'll tell you who got that. And if anybody can explain to me why Noel Williams wasn't on the field more yesterday, I wish I had something to give you. I would give it to you. it doesn't make any sense to me. He's the number one ranked corner on Pro Football Focus. He had a fantastic game against the Baltimore Ravens. Now he's just not a part of your defensive game plan. He played on four snaps. Four. Shamari Connor, you won't take him off of the field. Noel Williams, he can't get on. There's nothing you can find for Noel Williams to do on defense. Nothing. He can't cover anybody. There's nothing. It's very, very, very confusing how they're using their young secondary pieces, especially in this game where I thought it was just very clear. I thought that too many times in this game, they had the wrong person covering Jacksonville's best receiver. Far too many times in this game, they had somebody who just, you can't cover Brian Thomas. He's one of the better young receivers in the league. Why is Shamari Connor on him? His back is turned. He's not even turned around to face. That's pass interference. That's a penalty. Some of it is just putting your guys in position to make plays, and far too often they put Shamari Connor in just the wrong position to make plays. Rob, let's get to the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Kansas Always Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Rob, can we talk about Harrison Butker here for the end of the hits?
Let's just talk Harrison Butker. Let's just commit to a unpopular, not upbeat 5 o'clock hour for barbecue chicken alert, Butker and Jones.
They lost. How upbeat should I be? They lost. What do you want me to talk about? They lost. They're under 500. How positive should I be?
It looked like a warm day.
I ain't hear a lie to nobody. They lost. What percentage are you at right now with Harrison Butker?
I've ticked up from my 4 to 4.5. We're going in the wrong direction. Where are you at?
I'm at 5.5. I'm starting to get to this is a worry and a problem. I'm starting to get there. I'm not all the way there. I'm not ready to fully commit to it yet. I'm not ready to fully commit to the issue with Harrison Butker, but it's been every week. It's been every week there has been an issue with Harrison Butker. Like, every time I look at the principal's office, why are you sitting in that chair waiting to go in and talk to the principal? Every time? In some ways, I think we have painted Rashee Rice like he's going to come in and solve every problem that the Chiefs have. Like, man, when they get him back, man, it'll go back to how it was. Maybe. But he ain't got nothing to do with Harrison Butker kicking the ball out of bounds. He doesn't have anything to do with Harrison Butker being inconsistent from 50 yards. Now at a time where everybody is making 50-yard kicks, the Chiefs used to have a tremendous advantage. They had one of the longest legs, most accurate kickers. It feel like everybody got Harrison Butker on their team right now, except the Chiefs. So, yeah, I would put it right now at 5.5. I was at like 3-4. It's above average right now. It is starting to be like, at what point just what turns it around for Harrison Butker? So, yeah, that's where I'm at, a 5.5. You still are very, very low. Why is that? Why are you still low on Butker?
I think a lot of my – and by the way, 4.5 is – I was calling 4.5 low seems relative. But one of the reasons I am lower than you is – there was a time last season after the injury, he came back in the Browns game, missed a few kicks, and I was alarmed heading into the postseason, and he figured it out. There have been times in his career where he has looked iffy at times. He has figured it out. It was bad to kick the ball out of bounds last night. I think some of that's coaching, though. Why did no one tell him just pound it through the back of the end zone and we'll figure it out? They tried to get cutesy and place it. Now, he did a bad job, but I think that's bad coaching to put your player who has been iffy this year in a position to get cutesy. Take it out of the back of the end zone. We'll figure it out from the 35. So,
this is where I think you're being a little bit hypocritical here. The Chiefs are showing confidence in Harrison Butker to go out and execute and do the things that you've always done. So I can't say that the coaches put him in a bad spot. If you're trusting Harrison Butker to come through and execute, sure, it's not an extra point. It's not a regular made field goal. At the end of the game, they asked Harrison Butker to go out and accomplish something, and he failed. He has failed in some capacity in every game that they have had so far this season. Some of that's got to be on Harrison Butker, not the coaches.
I agree with the kick. I feel like just the kickoff specifically, it's not 100% on the coaching staff. I think a little bit of it falls on the coaching staff, but he did make his kicks last night, which is a step in the positive direction, which is why I'm a little lower on the worry scale than you.
Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk about the defense. We also got time to take your phone calls, 913-586-7965. If you want to chime in, we certainly can do that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have given out an award on our show, I would say every year for, I don't know, maybe like the last 6-7 years or so. It's become a yearly thing. The award has taken on many different forms over the course of the last couple of seasons, but we have settled in on
barbecue chicken alert, barbecue chicken alert.
And we give this to a corner or safety in the secondary that has just shown exemplary skills. This season, I am proud to announce that the 2025 winner of
Barbecue Chicken Alert, Barbecue Chicken Alert,
is none other than Shamari Connor. In yesterday's game, the Jacksonville Jaguars threw it to in Shamari Connor's range 11 times. They completed 10 of those passes for 93 yards and had a passer rating of 101.9 when throwing it at Shamari Connor. He has a role on this team. They are asking him to be in coverage situations, and I just don't think that's how he's best used and equipped. I thought it was pretty obvious that the Chiefs were that the Jacksonville Jaguars were targeting him in this game, in this matchup, and he was out there. He was food. I don't understand how Shamari Connor never comes off the field. The Chiefs have had 304 defensive snaps. Shamari Connor has not been on the field for just one of those snaps. He is never off the field. I don't understand how Shamari Connor is always on the field and Noel Williams cannot find a pathway to being on the field. He still is not used very often. Now, it's early on in the season, and maybe the argument is going to be as the year progresses, they plan on using him more and more. That's all fine. But so far, the lack of usage for Noel Williams, who has done very, very well in the very limited opportunities that he has been given, is just very, very puzzling to me given how well that he has performed. So, Rob, I am proud to announce our 2025 winner of the Barbecue Chicken Alert. It goes to Shamari Connor, who, I mean, he earned it yesterday. I mean, sometimes it's close, but we thought about giving it to him in week one, and we said we were going to take a little bit more time, and we were going to think about it a little bit more. But no, it has been earned. Shamari Connor, Barbecue Chicken Alert.
Is this the earliest someone has earned the award? Because
no, it's definitely been some times where somebody's earned it early on in the season.
Let me rephrase. Is this the earliest someone has earned the award in the Patrick Mahomes era? Because outside of that really bad 2018 defense, but if you remember, the 2018 team started so hot that maybe people forget the defense was bad. Is this the earliest it's been awarded? Like, because last year it was late. It was Nazi Johnson. Sorry, buddy, you got the award. I've seen Daniel Sorensen get it in week 6, 7, or 8. But this feels pretty early for Shamari Connor to be undisputed. The belt is yours. I'm not saying it's not earned, but it feels like this has to be the earliest awarding of this, you know, achievement.
I mean, sometimes when you know, you know. How many dates did it take for you to date your now wife? Or you were just like, you know what? There's something special about her. I don't need too many more games. There's something special about Shamari Connor. Tinder. I mean, I'm seeing it right there. I'm talking Q39. I'm talking Jack Stack Wings.
Barbecue chicken alert. Barbecue chicken alert.
I mean, it's over. I don't know who else to give it to this year. It's been earned. Congratulations. Come down. Receive your prize. Come down and receive your prize. You are barbecue chicken alert is what you are. I want to play this for you guys. This is Chris Canty. He was on First Take earlier today. Here he is talking about the defensive effort from last night for the Chiefs.
And right now, a lot of guys on the Kansas City Chiefs are more named than game. This is the latest that they've been below 500 since the 2021 season, and they didn't make the Super Bowl this year. And Jeff Saturday just got done telling you, we judge the Kansas City Chiefs based on their ability to be able to get to and win Super Bowls. So there is a different standard. I am not going to gloss over the things that we're seeing from this Kansas City Chiefs team. I can't gloss over what I saw from Chris Jones at the end of yesterday's game. It's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt on a play with the game in the balance, especially when I saw him loaf. I can't even give him the benefit of the doubt on that play because I saw earlier in the second half him allow Trevor Lawrence to run into the end zone on another touchdown in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Those types of plays, that kind of effort from your best player and one of your team leaders is absolutely unacceptable.
Right.
And so you have to wonder at what point does complacency set in with the Kansas City Chiefs? Remember, in the Mahomes era, they played 2 months more of football than anybody else during that span when you consider those deep playoff runs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that has to be weighed when it comes to what we can expect from Kansas City for the remainder of the regular season. Now,
accountability is great. We all need accountability. I got to hold Rob accountable. He's got to hold me accountable. That's how a team works. If you don't do your job, you let down the team, and inevitably, you make somebody else's job harder because they got to do not only their job, but they got to do some of yours. That's part of being on a team. One of my frustrations so far in the first 5 weeks of the season is the Chiefs got a lot of vocal leaders. And that's perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with being a vocal leader. Some people are, hey, I'm going to keep my head down, follow me, do what I'm doing. Alex Gordon type. Alex Gordon is very much a leader. Look at the way he trains, look at the way he eats. People are going to follow that. They got a lot of vocal leader guys. We've seen Kelce be that before. We've seen Chris Jones be that. And again, there's nothing wrong with being it. Everybody's leadership quality is different. But who then holds the leader accountable when they mess up? When Chris Jones is going 30% on the most critical defensive play in the game, who's the one that holds him accountable? When Kelce drops a ball that results in an interception, and now that's a big swing in the game, who holds him accountable? This goes to my main point where we can poke at this thing and this thing. Right now, their leadership, the core group, the guys who have won Super Bowls, the guys who are going to be in the Ring of Honor, the guys we are talking about potentially getting statues for them, they have contributed in major ways to them losing these games. Whether it's a pick six, whether it's a bobble that results in an interception, whether it's not having containment on a third down, and then Justin Herbert scrambles to get a first down. Whatever it is, your key players, your key pieces, they have been in the center of why and how you have lost these games. I want to play this for you guys from Colin Cowherd. Here's what he said about last night's game.
They're a very young team. Andy Reid is going to coach those mistakes out of them. Jacksonville doesn't make mistakes. Falling down on the final winning play, that's just Jacksonville. Fumbling the ball at the one, that's just Jacksonville. So I think you can coach out the 13 penalties or most of them. I think Kansas City's good and getting better. Now they're losing one score games. Last year they were 11-0 in one score games. But this year they're a little younger in spots and they're making mistakes. And I mean, the final play of the game, they had Trevor Lawrence trapped, Jags out of timeouts, and they couldn't make the play. But they averaged 7.6 yards a play, had almost 500 yards. They had a bad pick six from Mahomes. So congrats to Duvall. I love Trevor Lawrence. I thought his throw to Brian Thomas up the right sideline on that final drive was one of the best throws of the year in the NFL. He's always had talent. Fumbles too much, makes too many mistakes, but he's a great kid. I've met him a couple times. I'll always root for him. But this morning, I feel Kansas City's a better team, and I don't care what the score was.
That was Colin Cowherd after yesterday's game. I would agree with that. I mean, I know what the record says. I still look at the Chiefs as a team that can win the Super Bowl. I don't think Jacksonville can win the Super Bowl. Sure, can they win their division? Can they be a team that maybe wins in that first round, that 4-5 AFC South team? Sure. That either them or the Colts. One of those two teams is going to win the division. Maybe both of those teams end up missing the postseason. I still think Kansas City, there's some positive. The offense turned things around. You're getting Rashee Rice back in a week. There's a lot of good, I would say, surrounding the Chiefs. But that's just one of those games from a tiebreaker perspective, from a momentum standpoint. And now the Chiefs put themselves almost in the exact same scenario they were in last week. They got a home game against a really good team that they got to win. There's a big difference in being 3-3 and 2-4. A massive, massive difference. This is a very important three-game homestand for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, Patrick Mahomes did something that we're not going to talk about at the end of the season, but was one of the more impressive things that he's done so far this season. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think this is a really fair point about Harrison Bucker. Someone says this. I don't want to crush you guys for your feelings on Bucker. The numbers bear it out. But haven't we seen him clean up these misses before? I want to believe in this ability until we can't. I would say sometimes what kind of make Chiefs conversations difficult in real time is I feel like we always talk about the Chiefs based on either what they were in the past, what they are going to be in the future, very rarely what they are in the present. And I get that. They have accomplished a whole lot over the last 5 years, and you think that they are going to be good at the end of the season. Like, all of those things are true. But I think at least this time, what makes the conversation, I think, a little bit different is there's certainly still a lot of time. It's week 5, heading into week 6, is I think the AFC is a lot tougher than they've been used to. I don't think it is not a foregone conclusion that they win their division. I think they will win their division. I think the Broncos might be good. I think the Chargers are a good team. These are better versions of those teams that they've gone up against. And even when they get Rashee Rice back, man, their schedule doesn't really get much easier. They will have more for sure. Their schedule doesn't really get easier, though, over the next 10 weeks or so. You play the Lions. I think right now, I think Buffalo's the best team in the league. I would put the Lions at second, but if you had it the other way around, I wouldn't be mad at you for if that's how you had your power ranking. So they are playing, in my opinion, one of the two best teams in the National Football League coming up on Sunday at Arrowhead. They play a team in their division. Now, the Raiders have not been good, but division games are just, they're usually weird. You play Washington, who, with their quarterback, is certainly a capable team. You go on the road for Buffalo, on the road against Denver. The game against Indianapolis is now a game that you at least got to have some intrigue in. Indianapolis, I think, has proven to be a pretty capable team. Certainly a team capable of beating Kansas City. At this point, there are 8 teams that we don't got to talk about anymore. We don't got to spend any time talking about the Saints or the Panthers or the Giants. They're done. The Jets, they're done. So those eight teams, remove them. The other 24 teams, man, anybody at this point has proven they can beat anybody. You know, anybody can beat anybody. I don't care home, road, London. Anybody can beat anybody right now at this point. You go Dallas. I think that's more than anything has how I'm looking at it is their pathway to get to where they usually get to. It's just going to be harder to navigate it. So what I don't want the Chiefs to do is I don't want them to be in a situation that when they get going, they just created so much work for them in the front end that just make it more difficult. That's why I think this Sunday game, it is almost quite literally the same scenario as they just had last week, where you can either be 1-3 or 2-2. And them being 2-2 allowed you the opportunity to exhale a little bit. Whew, you got through it. Man, being 3-3 when Rice gets back and 2-4 are two drastically different scenarios. You can live with 3-3 when Rashee Rice gets back. Hey, a little bit up and down, but we finally got Rashee Rice back. You got two home games, so he can ramp up a little bit before you go to Buffalo. So I don't think there's any reason to be overly down about this team. There's no reason to sell any of your stock. They can still accomplish all of their goals. I think what you're looking at is a much, much more parity in the AFC than we had anticipated. No one's really separated themselves from anybody else. Maybe you think Buffalo has a 4-1 team, but whoever, like, if we go through the playoff picture right now, and I know it's very early, there's just no separation between teams 2-10 right now in the AFC. Same thing in the NFC.
I mean, I think we're starting to see a little bit of that separation. I think you're starting to see the Lions and Bills and that type. But I
think that might be it, though, is those two teams.
I kind of talked about yesterday with the I don't know grouping, which we put the Jags in. I think more than we've seen a long time with the NFL, there's a grouping of we know who's bad, we know who's good, and it's just throw your hands up. I have no idea about that middle section.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I would say that this year the I don't know group is much bigger than we remember. There's so many teams in there that we don't know. The Niners, the Rams, like there's a whole division of I don't know teams. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of where we are, I would say, right now in the National Football League. We had a lot of fun today. We'll be back tomorrow. Patrick Mahomes will be on the show tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive. Chiefs Kingdom up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.